Relief and joy as volunteers help free January 6th prisoners get home. With a stroke of the presidential pen, people charged in connection with the U.S. Capitol protest on January 6, 2021, were free. Many had no idea how they would get home. After President Donald Trump signed pardons and commutations on January 20, an estimated 300 people were released from 75 prisons in 35 states, according to Gary Heaven, a Texas philanthropist who raised funds for an operation to meet each of the prisoners and help them get back home. Everyone was scrambling to make sure there were people at the gates of these prisons to welcome the former prisoners and help them with basic needs, Heaven told the Epoch Times. The volunteers ensured that the ex-prisoners were warm and fed, with a hotel to go to, and a phone to reconnect to their families, he said. Volunteers also provided transportation, including commercial airline tickets or flights via private jets, including one that Heaven owns. These volunteers and the people they helped told the Epoch Times that emotions overflowed as they shared time together. They described relief that the prisoners were freed and could return home. But they also decried how the U.S. justice system handled the January 6 cases and expressed concern over the continuing challenges that the ex-prisoners face. There were bad actors on January 6. But whatever stupid things they did, like breaking glass or turning a table over, 4 years in prison covers it, not 21, Heaven said. If we care about injustice, then we have to care about these people. After Trump won the November 5 election, the volunteer groups began planning for pardons and commutations, Heaven said. Trump had campaigned on promises to free the January 6 political prisoners. But no one knew if, or when, the order would come. Within hours of his inauguration, Trump commuted 14 sentences of serious offenders and pardoned the remaining 1,569 people. The volunteers then set their plans in motion. Heaven and a second Texas pilot, Joe Hartzell, spent 2.5 days executing Operation Airlift. From January 21 to 23, they flew about 20 of the new releasees home. Heaven and his wife, Diane, say their plane traversed 8,000 miles. Sharing stories in flight. As her husband flew the plane, Diane Heaven kept company with the passengers. The Heavens shed tears as they heard tales of the prisoners' ordeals and watched the freed men reunite with loved ones. I've never cried so much in my life, Gary Heaven said, even though he has witnessed plenty of heartache while assisting people at scenes of earthquakes and hurricanes. Helping those in need has been a major focus for the Heavens, even while they owned a major business, Curves Fitness Centers for Women. In 2005, 13 years after the Heavens founded the company, Curve said it had expanded to 9,300 locations in 38 countries, making it the world's 10th largest franchise firm. The Heavens sold Curves in 2012 and retired, freeing up more time for philanthropy. Each mission is an adventure, the Heavens say. They feel compelled to give back because they have been so successful. To whom much has been given, much is expected, Gary Heaven said. We've been very blessed, and honestly, rescuing people, you get more out of it than you put into it. Powerful moments. The Heavens are parents of 4, grandparents of 5, and great-grandparents of 3. They were moved when they witnessed children reuniting with the prisoners. Describing himself as a manly guy who flies and stuff, Gary Heaven said he teared up when he saw a little girl who's maybe 4 years old, hasn't seen her father in 2 years, running, yelling, "Daddy, Daddy." The Heavens also witnessed spouses burrowing heads into their loved ones' chests and sobbing. Diane Heaven said it affected her deeply when one of the prisoners exhibited what seemed to be a PTSD moment, referring to post-traumatic stress disorder. He suddenly became distrustful of her, saying, "Wait a minute. You know too much. You might be from the government." She spent several minutes convincing him that was untrue. Then he made a statement that hit her hard, "I didn't know there were any good people left." She replied, "Yes, there are a lot of good people." Asked about the former prisoner's future, Diane Heaven said, My hopes are that they can move on and not let this event define who they are. My fear is that they will be tainted with unforgiveness, bitterness, or unresolved anger. More difficulties loom. Diane Heaven said the releasees' lives have been upended severely. One man told her he just felt a great emptiness and he didn't know where to begin to pick up the pieces, she said. Many of the released prisoners need to find work, but they don't know how to overcome obstacles that their incarceration created. One man told Diane Heaven, "If I get a job and I don't have a car, how am I going to get there? My credit's been ruined while I was in prison for 2 years. So, you know, I can't buy a car." Some have little or no family support after their marriages broke up and once close relatives became estranged amid the politically charged prosecutions. And some January 6 defendants don't have homes to go to, Diane Heaven said. It really just breaks my heart that these people who were just standing up for their First Amendment rights could have been subjected to this kind of punishment, and then on top of that, lose everything, she said. If not for the volunteers helping the released prisoners, a correctional officer told me that they would be let loose and sent to a bus station, said Shelley Freeman, a volunteer who assisted Pete Schwartz. She told the Epoch Times that she paid out of her own pocket to provide housing, food, personal items, and a cell phone for him. Like many January 6 prisoners, he was held in a prison far from family members, making visits difficult or impossible. Schwartz was freed near Freeman's California home, more than 2,000 miles away from his parents in Kentucky. He returned to them via an airline ticket that American Patriot Relief purchased, Freeman said. Nonviolent man grateful for help. The first prisoner whom the Heavens picked up was Glenn Allen Brooks, 64. They flew him from Georgia to Virginia, where his sister lives. On January 6, 2021, Brooks was a latecomer to the U.S. Capitol. Violent clashes between police and protesters happened before he arrived. He went inside the building to see what was happening and sent photos to his church prayer group. Later, after offers of rewards for tips leading to suspected insurrectionists, a member of that prayer group reported Brooks to the FBI. As a result, authorities interrogated Brooks twice, he told the Epoch Times. In July 2021, a SWAT team raided his home around 6 a.m., Brooks said, startling him as he read the Bible. After much legal wrangling, Brooks stood trial last year on allegations of disorderly conduct and trespassing. In September 2024, he began serving a 6-month prison term. On Inauguration Day, word had spread through Brooks' prison that freedom might be imminent for him and two other January 6 prisoners. But Brooks didn't believe it until, as fellow inmates say, you're walking out the blue door, which leads from that institution to the outside world. A pair of ambassadors for the Patriot Freedom Project, Nikki and Tim Long, greeted Brooks with a hand-drawn poster board that reads, "Patriot Glenn Brooks, are you ready to go home?" The Longs handed Brooks a winter coat, four suitcases full of clothes, food, and an iPhone. He felt showered with love and blessings. They drove him to a hotel room, provided by the group. Hours later, the Brooks took him to an airport in Savannah. There, the Heavens awaited with their private jet. Friendship forged. There was a lot of prayer, a lot of thankfulness, a lot of joy, Brooks said. In the short time he and the Heavens spent together, Brooks feels they have forged a lifelong friendship. He and the Heavens discovered they have a mutual interest, going on Christian mission trips to help impoverished people in the Caribbean nation of Haiti. Brooks also is an aviation aficionado. "I found them precious and dear people," he said. Yet Brooks feels disoriented as he tries to chart a course for his new, post-Jan 6 life. He left California, where he lived for many years, and moved to Florida. His marriage ended. And several of the 7 children from his once-blended family have distanced themselves from him, he said. "I disappeared," Brooks said. "I kind of think that, as one of the January 6th people, that I now have an identity that I really didn't sign up for." Pair of police officers reunite. A January 6 prisoner who flew with the heavens, retired Boston police officer Joseph Robert Fisher, 54, told the Epoch Times that he feared he might be left out of Trump's pardons. Trump had signaled that he was less inclined to grant mercy to violent offenders. Fisher described his actions as on the cusp of what might be considered violent, although no officer was harmed. On January 6, Fisher was swept into the crowd that entered the Capitol. At one point, he slid a chair along the floor, between an officer and a protester, halting a foot pursuit. Fisher said the chair never hit the officer, contrary to the Justice Department's claim that he rammed the chair into the officer. The officer confronted Fisher. "He grabbed me by the shoulders. I grabbed him by the shoulders. He picked me up, dropped me down on the ground. At that point, I was just like, holy smokes. Like, what's going on here?" As a man who devoted his life to law enforcement, Fisher was in disbelief over how badly the situation escalated. "It was terrible, it was like my world had crashed," Fisher said. "Never was it my intent to go in there and get involved and mix it up with any cops or anything like that." More than 2 years later, SWAT teams raided Fisher's home and arrested him on January 6 related charges. Ironically, the FBI targeted Fisher after internet sleuths matched January 6 video footage with images of Fisher's good police work. He risked his life to search for suspects in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. After protracted legal battles, Fisher could see the deck appeared to be stacked against January 6 defendants. "To get it over with," he pleaded guilty. In May 2024, he was sentenced to 20 months in prison. But that time was cut short when Trump pardoned Fisher, enabling him to return to his wife of 26 years, Deborah, a fellow officer who continues to serve the Boston Police Department. "It was a great feeling to have a hug and a kiss without having to wear the lime green jumpsuit they make you wear during visitations," Fisher said. The heavens picked up Fisher at a Pennsylvania prison and flew him back home to Massachusetts within an hour or so, saving his wife a 13-hour round-trip drive. "They couldn't have been more gracious. They were the nicest people on earth," Fisher said of the heavens. "The grace end of it, from all the people that helped us out, was just absolutely amazing."